Good morning, everyone. I trust everyone had a nice Christmas. Anyway, my name is Carol Thixton, and I'll be reading to you the scripture today, which is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, an ancient word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through the Word, and without the Word, no one thing came into being. What has come into being in the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, and the world came into being through the Word. Yet the world did not know the Word. The Word came to what words had made, and the Word's own people did not accept the Word. But to all who received the Word, who believed in the name of the Word, power was given to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of human will, but of God. And the Word became flesh and among us, and we have seen the glory of the Word, the glory as of a parent's only child, full of grace and truth. John testified to this child and cried out, "This was one of whom I said, 'The one who comes after me ranks ahead of me because that one was before me.' From the fullness of the child, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only child, who is close to the heart of the Father, the Mother, who has made God known."
Well, it's almost over, isn't it? The year that we would as soon forget, with its pandemic, racial unrest, inhospitality to refugees and immigrants, political chicanery, corruption at the highest levels of government, incivility, injustice, and violence. This year we get one extra Sunday between Christmas and Epiphany, which gives us another opportunity to reflect on and celebrate the wondrous events of Christmastide. In our eagerness to get on to 2021, I'm not sure how much more celebrating we're up for. I suppose some of you may have finished already. The challenges of 2020 notwithstanding, these past few weeks, we're still inundated with all the trappings of the holiday season. It may be that by now, some of us are a little sick of that season, though some might actually welcome a little more Christmas before we take down the tree and put the decorations away. It's been just that kind of year. Is anyone particularly tired this morning? Are you feeling the accumulated stress of the holidays on top of all that's transpiring in our lives and in the world around us? Maybe you're ready for a little peace and quiet that comes with ordinary time. I'm sure you're not alone. Even in this crazy year, the holiday season has assaulted all our senses from before Halloween through the after Christmas sales and on to the celebrations of the new year. By now, it makes perfectly good sense that we might be worn out. though still we may be able to generate some excitement for a new year, any year that's not 2020. So how many of us got everything we wanted for Christmas? What did you find in your stocking hung by the chimney with care? What wonders waited for you under the tree? Were you completely satisfied with your giving and your receiving? I don't mean to be a Scrooge this morning. I enjoy many of the more secular traditions of the season, as I'm sure you do. However, as people of faith, shouldn't the meaning of Christmas be more than the festivities of the holiday season? In fact, isn't it even more than the beloved stories of angels and shepherds and magi and Mary and Joseph and a baby born in a stable? The writer of John tries to capture the deeper meaning in the prologue to his gospel. The word, he writes, became flesh and lived among us. But note, this word is not just any word, like pancake or football or swimming or listen or speak or good or bad or heaven or hell. It's written with a capital W. But it's not a proper name like Rick or Mike or Terry or Elena or Adam or Assunta or Gandalf or Darth Vader or even Dumbledore. The word is Word, and John says it is very special. He says this Word was in the beginning with God. You know, way, way, way back, when God created everything. How can that be? What do you think John is talking about? What or who is this Word, and what does it have to do with the true meaning of Christmas? At first, John says the Word was God. And then he says the Word was light and life and glory and truth and peace and grace. That's a lot of lovely words, but they're abstract terms, challenging to take in and to comprehend. So he says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever encountered light or life or glory or grace or truth walking around your neighborhood? Has God been seen recently at your school or your workplace or the mall? Was God in line at the checkout counter? How is it that God became human? Who is this mysterious Word who is said to be light and life and glory and grace and truth, and is both God and human? Could it be Jesus, the baby whose birth we celebrated at Christmas? How is it that Jesus can be this Word? Well, let's play with the question a little. The dictionary says that a word is a sound or a combination of sounds, or its representation in writing or printing, that symbolizes and communicates meaning. So the Word, with a capital W, symbolizes and communicates meaning. The Word has come from God to show and tell us something about the meaning of God's creation and our existence in it. In Greek, the Word is translated as logos, and it means philosophically the principle governing the cosmos, Identified with God, it is the source of all activity and generation, and is the power of reason residing in the human soul. In biblical Judaism, Logos is the word of God, which itself has creative power and is God's medium of communication with the human race. Heavy stuff. It appears that after God had tried to communicate with humanity through the law and the prophets, through wisdom and history, through poetry and song, God decided that the only way to get our attention was in the flesh, in human form. You know how someone showing up in your space is more likely to get your attention than a text or an email or even a clever meme? So the Word became Jesus, a baby born to an unmarried peasant couple in a backwater village in a small-time country some 2,000 years ago, and that same Jesus became the Word, filled with light and life and glory and grace and truth in human form. Barbara Brown Taylor comments on this passage. In Jesus, she says, John says, the Word became flesh. The intangible light, grace, and truth of God are embodied in Christ. God put skin on those divine attributes so that followers who want to know how they sound and act have someone to show them. Suddenly, light shines out, infiltrating the darkness and wrapping us in its warmth. To all who accept the Word, who see the significance of that name, power is given to become children of God. Is this the meaning that Jesus came to communicate? That we are to be made children of God? From the beginning of time, God has been reaching out to draw us to her bosom. Is this the ultimate Word, illuminated by the light that has come into the world? God so loved the world that God sent God's own child. That's love for us, for you and me. In the light of the Word made flesh, Taylor suggests that each of us may have a Word, potential or realized, that is our Word. She says almost everyone has a Word that he or she has a gift for bringing to life. She suggests words like compassion or justice, patience or generosity. If you were to allow the light to shine out and illuminate it, what would your word be? Take a moment. Reflect on that prayerfully. What is the word you have been gifted to bring to life? Taylor says, until someone acts upon these words, they remain abstract concepts, very good ideas that few people have ever seen. The moment someone acts on them, the words become flesh. They live among us so that we can see their glory. Light shines out. Compassion, justice, patience, generosity, love spring to life and inhabit our neighborhoods. She suggests that congregations might also have their defining words, like community or hospitality or prayer or service or prophecy. It's impossible for any one congregation to be all things to all people. But a congregation might have a particular word that is its gift to bring to life. Again, take a prayerful moment to consider what might be a characteristic word for this congregation. You see, identifying this word is an important part of moving into Fairview's future. Perhaps it is something you know well, or maybe it's something you have long hoped for. What word would you like for this community to put flesh on and live out? I encourage you to take your words, the words for yourself, the word for this community, reflect on them. Pray about them, share them with someone you trust, and consider how to make them real in your own life and in the world around you, to put flesh on them in your own living. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen the glory of that word, the glory of a parent's only child, full of grace and truth. The true light, which enlightens everyone, is always coming into the world. Light shines out. Darkness cannot overcome it. Let your little light shine. Amen.